Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. We have a treat today. We have an interview with Dr. Mark Levine and Nancy Levine, a married couple from Vermont. And anybody in Vermont probably knows that name. Dr. Levine, as I mentioned in the interview, we've already recorded it, he is the Anthony Fauci of Vermont. Or, you know, I like to think that Dr. Anthony Fauci is the Mark Levine of the United States. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to talk more about what a contrast we saw on the Vermont scene with the national scene, but it's just been, we've wanted to interview Dr. Levine and Nancy for a while. They're both really neat people, and we had a great time interviewing them. So that's going to be a treat for you all. Before we do that, we want to, first of all, request that you let people know about this podcast. Do the things that people do to do that. That means rate us and comment and just plain old tell your friends so that we can spread the word. We've been having more and more listeners each time. And so that's really a lot of fun for us. And we hope to get the word out. And we are also going to do a commercial for the book that I wrote.
So the book that we're talking about is called Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And, you know, I wrote this book well before there was a pandemic, but the topic of today, when we get into our interview, is all about managing the pandemic. And I have to say, actually, some folks that I work with who have read the book have commented that it's quite helpful in dealing with the pandemic, because a lot of what I touch on in dealing with the book is how to experience and foster, facilitate intimacy in conditions where there's a lot of anxiety around. And there certainly has been a lot of anxiety with this pandemic going, I certainly think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, particularly with couples spending all this much more time together, it's a time where it can either bring out sometimes the best, but sometimes the worst. But it's been a wonderful time for many couples to reconnect and get that intimacy back. And that's what we've been hearing from readers of the book, that they've used it as a jumping point to spark their relationship.
So again, the title of the book is Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. It's available anywhere books are sold. When you buy it and read it, we hope you will, regardless of where you get it, we hope you will do a review on Amazon, because that really is how folks find books these days mostly. And let us know what you think as well. So now on with the program. So I mentioned we have an interview today with Dr. Mark Levine and Nancy Levine, and the next thing you will hear will be Judy introducing them, and then we'll be back afterward to wrap up the program. Hope you enjoy the interview.
Our guests today are Dr. Mark and Nancy Levine. Nancy Levine grew up in Ithaca, New York, and went on to attend Carlo University. She and Mark were married in 1979. She worked as a nurse, mostly in pediatrics, for 4 decades before retiring in 2011 to pursue an MFA in writing at the Vermont College of Fine Arts. She and Mark have 2 adult children and a granddaughter born in 2019. Mark Levine serves as the Commissioner of Health of the state of Vermont, appointed by Governor Phil Scott in 2017. Previously, Dr. Levine was a professor of medicine and associate dean for graduate medical education at the University of Vermont College of Medicine. As a practicing physician, Dr. Levine focused on health promotion and disease prevention, preventative health screening and clinical nutrition, chronic disease management, and solving complex diagnostic dilemmas. Mark and Nancy, welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's great to have you. I have to tell you, in wanting to interview the two of you, and I know these are comments that Judy and I have talked about for, you know, since last March, just, and I'll say this, Mark, of course, especially to you, for our listeners who are not in Vermont, our listeners in Vermont already know who Dr. Levine is, who Mark is. Our listeners who are not in Vermont, I mean, a way of saying it, and I know you've heard this before, Mark, is he's the Anthony Fauci of Vermont. And the difference was, at least certainly in my experience, I often commented on this, it continues to be so refreshing as you're doing your, I guess it's twice weekly now, updates with the governor and other members of the cabinet about the situation. It's been so refreshing to hear how you, and I will say again for the benefit of our listeners not in Vermont, our Republican governor, are so respectful of the science and respectful of your expertise. And it's just been so refreshing, especially by comparison to what was happening on the national scene. So I suppose I just want to start off on behalf of myself and many, many, many people in Vermont. Thank you for everything you have done. You've really helped us get through this in ways I think it would have been a lot harder to do without you.
Well, thank you for that. And it is a sign of the times we're in that is so noteworthy. And, you know, in other times, one wouldn't be held in high esteem for the trustworthiness factor or the accuracy or the use of data and science. So it is a challenging time to be in when you're in a once-in-a-century pandemic and you've had to operate the way we operate in Vermont, and it is held in such stark contrast to what has gone on the federal level.
Yeah. Have you noticed, again, for our listeners who may not know when we're recording this, I think the Biden administration is now about 11 days old. Have you noticed a difference in the last 11 days in terms of your contacts on the federal level?
Yes, definitely have. There's a little less politicization of things and a little more, here's the work we need to do, here are the realities on the ground, and let's try to get our hands around them and move forward. So that is refreshing.
I'm indeed very glad to hear that. Nancy, I'm curious to ask you, of course, you are also, you know, medically trained, and you were a nurse for many years. And so you have your own expertise around these things. I'm also just curious, you know, this is a couples, we talk about couples therapy in this podcast. What has it been like for you to be married to a rock star? He's a rock star in Vermont.
Well, quite frankly, I always thought he was, and now the world is catching up. So, you know, even rock stars have jobs at home. Mark does the dishes every night. He does the grocery shopping. He takes the dog out for the 11 p.m. hike, and he does the vacuuming. So, you know, at home, he's Mark.
He's Mark. So can you tell us how did the two of you get together?
You can tell.
Oh, you know, if there's one thing in the world I hate, it's Halloween costume parties. and somehow it was arranged we both go to one. And of course, there weren't too many people who weren't in costumes, but we were in that group.
We were dressed as people.
Yeah, we were like real people. And actually, we started talking like real people. Things went from there. It was quite unique. I didn't really know what to expect, even though we'd kind of been a little bit set up. But the bottom line was I had a very open mind, and I wasn't going to let that throw me one way or the other. And things went on.
And where was this?
This was when I was a medical student in Rochester, and Nancy was working in the neonatal intensive care unit in Rochester.
Oh, so at that point, yeah, Nancy, you were already working as a nurse.
Yeah, and this part, you can edit out. This is just for good humor.
Won't edit it out if it's good humor. Just telling it.
He had just this fabulous smile that I was initially drawn to. But then when he turned around, he looked just as cute from behind as he did from the front.
And again, for folks who don't know you, Mark, you take up a lot of vertical space, right? You're really tall.
I really do, yes. And that makes it so hard to be anonymous or to move around surreptitiously, because nowadays I can't go into Hannaford's, I can't go into Costco, I can't go on a trail around the lake and not have people come up to me, even with a mask on. It's very challenging.
So that moment when you met and Nancy, you noticed that he looked just as good from behind as in front, and there was quite a bit of him to look at, I guess, right?
And I'm pretty thin still, but I was even thinner then.
Really? Wow. Yes, indeed.
Medical school was rigorous.
I can imagine. So what, you know, I want to ask you both from your own individual and your experience of the two of you, but of course, Mark, especially in terms of your position as Commissioner of Health. I know I've heard you speak in some of your press conferences about the effect of the pandemic on mental health in general. I'm especially curious if you have any, if you've heard stuff, and you know, again, our listeners also know, I work as a couples therapist, so I hear it a lot, but I'm curious, have you heard stuff about how the pandemic is affecting couples?
I have. It hasn't been the most major part of mental health I've heard about. You know, I hear more, much more about issues that are polarizing that mental health is then used as the reason why we should worry about them. For instance, what's going on now with returning basketball and hockey to competition across schools, where we're being rather cautious and careful and deliberate, and people are saying that, you know, look at our adolescents, what you're doing to their lives. You know, there's a common sort of way of pointing the finger at an event or a decision or a person rather than at the virus. We all have to recognize we're living with this virus. People have worried about suicide rates in not only adolescents, but all ages going up. And the reality is that probably hasn't happened.
I am glad to hear that.
Yeah. Not that they've gone down, but they're certainly, we can't account for more because of this. One thing we can account for more of is clearly overdose deaths from opioids, which has dramatically escalated, even though we had for 1 year after 6 years of no progress, made incredible progress, and numbers were going down. And I know that people talk to me about the fact that they notice more substance misuse, even if it's just people drinking more wine at home, but much more than they would have because they're home much more than they ever would have been. So those things have an impact. The place I've heard about it in couples the most is in domestic abuse. And those are hard numbers to come by because people aren't always calling people to their house anymore if there's an event. Dialing 911, getting first responders involved, et cetera, that is a little less frequent and certainly less public happening. So a lot more is happening within homes that probably is not going detected. And I can only imagine what it's doing to the mental health of the individuals in those relationships that it involves.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're hearing that in your practice, but that's the core place I'm hearing it.
Yeah, I haven't heard it a lot in my practice per se. I did hear early on, I think a few months into the pandemic, I remember hearing a report that the numbers of people reaching out to, you know, helplines and things like that for domestic abuse was down, and that wasn't good news. And for the very reasons you're describing, it wasn't because probably there's less domestic abuse going on. It's probably because people were reluctant to actually get the help they needed. And also people were stuck together as well. And that makes it harder for people who are subject to abuse to get out or get help or, you know, not necessarily have a place to go.
You know, and we hear a lot about people buying or acquiring new pets. And I wonder if that is helping that situation a little, because there's another living being to focus on in the house that may take the focus off of some of the relationship issues that are going on. Because there's been a real skyrocket in the number of people who own pets now, which, you know, I'm hoping that's all a good thing and not a bad thing.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So one of the things we like to do in the course of these podcasts is we have a listener question, which we're going to turn to in a couple minutes. There's another thing I want to ask you about. But just to let you know, and the particular question we picked today is very relevant to what I do see in my practice. So that's what I want to address. I often see in my practice a pretty substantial difference between members of a couple in not necessarily how seriously they take it, although I have seen that. You know, I have seen where one member of the couple is a complete denier, you know, says the whole thing is a hoax or whatever, and then the other member of the couple is scared by that. But more often I've seen it where neither one of them is a complete denier, but they just have a difference about that. Have you heard about that or encountered that?
No, I have not encountered it as much, because I think in Vermont, we tend to encounter it less frequent than in other states.
We
have a lot more people who are not pandemic deniers or virus deniers, which makes it a lot easier. So I don't really get to hear that aspect of it.
Yeah, we don't have it as much, but I know from my own experience with folks that we do have it. It's interesting. Yeah, Nancy, I'm curious, how do the two of you, mostly see eye to eye on how to manage the various guidelines coming out of your husband's department, you know?
Oh, easy. Yeah, 99.9.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine where we would even have a difference in management.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Except for one thing, you know, Nancy is a very good editor, you know, being the great writer she is a great editor. And often when I'm preparing some comments or whatever, she'll take a quick look and she'll see an issue that I'm framing one way in another way, which is okay, because I want to sort of understand the other ways people look at the issues I frame and the angles they come from. So she's really good at sort of opening my eyes to that and having more time than me to go sort of on the web and look at what's out there and what people are saying sometimes or what beliefs they're expressing. It's really helpful to have sort of some insight into that she can provide.
Yeah, I think that's, in a sense, that's why the two of us are doing this podcast together.
we've noted that.
We're actually doing, you know, we're doing some trainings. I mean, clearly, you know, I'm the one in the field. Judy is an educator, not a therapist. And it's just really helpful to have her voice to be the one who isn't the therapist, isn't the psychologist, you know, and she can, and she's also the non-nerd of the two of us. I sometimes say I'm a recovering nerd, but Judy has pointed out on occasion that I relapse fairly frequently.
Judy can speak of the people from.
That's right. That's the voice I provide to this duo.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have a listener question. So mm-hmm. I'm going to turn it over to Judy and she can read it to you and we'll take it from there.
Okay. So Ellen writes, "Dear Dr. Chalmer, my husband Tim and I have been pretty careful during the pandemic. We both work from home, but we do have two children in elementary school that go in person. I've always been more cautious than Tim about most things, and that's been true in the pandemic as well. He's not one of those nuts who thinks COVID is a hoax. He knows it's real and dangerous, but he wants to visit family, go out to restaurants, and generally do things I'm not comfortable with. When I object to something he wants to do, he doesn't do it, but I can tell he resents me for it. It's caused a lot of tension between us. I don't want to be a nagging wife, but his attitude scares me. What can we do to get past this?"
So what do you think?
Sounds like he's suffering from a little bit of pandemic fatigue as well, which who knows anybody who isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's where we are now. You know, we talk about the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's so hard to project the future, but you know, most authorities really feel that we're headed towards an area where there'll be enough people vaccinated and enough people still behaving carefully that all those things Tim wants to do, he can do.
Mm.
And it's a question of delaying gratification, I guess. If Ellen can help Tim delay gratification, not 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, but just a few months,
mm-hmm.
maybe a whole different landscape that we're looking at. With regard to the amount of gathering we can do in the ways he wants to do it, the amount of time we might be able to spend outside instead of inside, because hopefully it'll be a little warmer, and all of that. So I can understand exactly the kind of tension she's talking about and where that comes from. He certainly doesn't sound reckless. And there may be ways that he can do some of the things that she's kind of holding him back on because he can do them safely. Mm-hmm. You know, a restaurant, that may be a challenge, but even now, you know, restaurants, you can only go with your own family. So it's not like there's going to be multiple households at one table. Mm-hmm. There may be things he wants to do, like go to a gym, and some of the gyms are operating incredibly safely now with all the appropriate guidance incorporated. And as long as he's a believer in the distancing and in the masking, there may be a couple activities she may be able to give in on a little that he may be able to do. And if he could agree perhaps to do some more frequent testing in return, knowing that she wants to know that he's trying to keep them safe as possible and protect them, that could work as a nice kind of compromise for both of them.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay to go to restaurants if you go with just your family?
Well, it's okay, or we wouldn't say that. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't. Mm-hmm. But Nancy and I are not in the youngest age range anymore either, so we would be considered more vulnerable and higher risk to do that. We do plenty of takeout, but restaurants are open at reduced capacity to have indoor seating. And what we did around the Christmas holiday season was that's when we changed to making sure that there was only one household per table, no multiple household gatherings, just like you couldn't gather at someone's home with multiple households, because that really has been one of the major ways to transmit virus to one another.
So it's interesting because the what you're describing, and this again, this we don't know these particular folks who wrote in, but we do, you know, we picked this letter because I see lots of people having similar kinds of issues. And one of the things I've seen come up is exactly what you're saying. It's like, wow, now it looks like there finally is a light at the end of the tunnel. I've worked with several couples where they had COVID. And, you know, it like got it around the holiday time as, you know, when things were really spiking more here than even, you know, certainly than it was back in the summer. And that changes their calculation and changes their relative worry profile. But it's so interesting when the two people differ in how much they worry. And this, the letter writer, actually, Ellen, said, I've always been more cautious than Tim about most things. You know, it's interesting. I see that a lot where this is not totally new for them. And it often turns out, this is kind of a cliche in couples work, that that was part of what attracted her to Tim in the first place, was that he was more of a risk taker than she was, and she found that exciting. But of course, it's so often what happens is the stuff that attracts you is what ends up scaring you later on. And so he's trying to figure out how to not freak her out, but still be himself. And she's trying to figure out how to not be freaked out, but let him be himself. And again, that sort of thing comes up a fair amount.
Yeah, and when it came up for a gazillion years of their marriage, it was no big deal. Now, in a once-in-a-century pandemic, suddenly those stakes seem much higher.
Yeah, exactly. It suddenly becomes literally life and death, and that does change it.
And what about if a couple has had COVID? Are they okay to go out and do more stuff than would normally be done? Are they, you know, immune from getting it again?
Yeah, it depends when they had it. We'd like to think that within 90 days, what you said would be true. Beyond 90 days, the data is not yet firmly in. There are reports of people having recurrent cases that often are with a different strain of COVID after they had it once before. But within the 90 days, usually the immune response is quite good.
Yeah.
The hope, of course, is that the vaccine immune response will be far more than 90 days. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping, and we have good indications to believe.
That's another interesting variable because, I mean, I myself actually, as a healthcare provider, I've had my first dose and getting my second dose in about a week and a half. Judy is 6 years younger than me, and so she's a youngster and doesn't qualify yet. And I don't qualify by age yet either, quite. But I did qualify as a healthcare provider, but she doesn't. So, you know, we're having to figure out, at least I'll speak for myself, I'm having to figure out what will I be comfortable doing when I'm already vaccinated, but Judy isn't yet. And what I come down to is not a heck of a lot. I'm imagining. I don't know. Do you have some advice for us on that?
That's a good philosophy to have right at this point in time, because there's just way too much COVID around. And we're still not 100% sure that your ability to get COVID in your nasal mucosa and transmit it to others is taken care of by the vaccine or not. We just don't know.
Yeah, and I will say we go no place except for outside for walks.
And that's because I'm the more cautious one. And I was the one who said, you know, with the new strains coming on, I was the one who said, you know what, I want to get delivery from the grocery store now. I don't want to go in grocery stores anymore. And I was comfortable doing that for the, you know, every up until very recently.
Wow.
Do you go, you still go into grocery stores?
I do. Just there yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm careful, but you know, you can't do a full order in 10 minutes. It's, you know, no matter how fast you want to go through the store, it's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
But they've done a good job of trying to keep it a safe environment, which is great. And that's one of those things where I'm the one that does it and not Nancy, because, you know, we're both really, really healthy. But at the same time, Nancy's had some issues with asthma in the past. And the last thing we want is for her to be the one to get COVID and then activate that asthma.
Yeah, sure.
What happens there. So I've been happy to be the one to sort of get myself out in public.
And I take it you've been vaccinated.
No, because I'm not doing in-person healthcare delivery right now. So even though I could say, well, I'm a doctor, that really isn't right. You know, it's really for the people who are patient-facing. So I didn't want to take up a slot. Because I'm patient-facing only in that people ask me gazillions of questions every day, but I'm not in a clinic room with them.
Yeah, that's
the key.
But you did have a scare being exposed to it, right?
I know. Yeah, in the auditorium in the in Montpelier. Fortunately, we all tested negative after a week, and that's in the past now. But it was so. If I could use the word frustrating, because, you know, both the governor and I mean, you couldn't be more careful than we are in our lives. Although I'm sure the governor is not doing the grocery shopping, but the reality is we're so careful. And then to have something that was a little bit beyond our control be the reason why we had to quarantine. You know, it gave us a chance to role model some behavior and let us understand what we've been telling Vermonters to go through who had to do similar quarantines.
Yeah. So are there other things that you would like us to be asking you about, or you think would be just, we're not thinking of to ask you, but it would be interesting for us to ask you. What do you think?
Well, to pick up on your theme, not that I was abusing Nancy and I'm no longer abusing her, but I do think we should look at the other side of the coin, where there are probably all those couples who are actually growing closer because of the pandemic, and it hasn't actually harmed their relationship in any way. Because you and I, being in the care delivery field, we're always looking at disease and illness and how to help people improve. But I do think, hopefully, there are people like Nancy and I who actually feel like we've come closer. And even though we don't have kids living in the home anymore and we can't visit our kids or our granddaughter, and we do have our dog, which is fine, we don't only just tolerate each other, but we actually do pretty well together. I think I got to ask
Nancy to comment on that too, of course. Let's hear from Nancy on that.
I'm not working at home, which is most of the time. I'm gone for long hours. But the reality is we've really tried to endure this pandemic in as upbeat a way as possible. And clearly it hasn't brought out tensions or stresses. It's only, I think, brought us closer. But I'll let her answer for herself.
Yeah, but saying that, we were kind of in the ideal position to go through a pandemic. Because number one, we both have work. We're not worried about our income. We have food stability. We have good health, and we know our children are safe and working. So a lot of the stressors that can stress a marriage aren't present in our life at this moment. Basically, the big stress is getting Mark off to work and back home. His days are really, really long. So we try to have a nice dinner every night. Mm-hmm. Usually we eat around 8 o'clock, which seems crazy.
Oh, man.
That's right. Kind of European, you know.
Yeah, I'm very European. So I think where the pandemic can be stressful is if you have a young couple in an 800 square foot apartment, they're both trying to work from home, and they have little kids on Zoom class. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you see the stressors just multiply. But if we had to go through a pandemic, this is the right part of our life to do it.
Yeah, we're in a very similar position, and in pretty much all of those ways. It's been, we're actually in better physical shape. I'll speak for myself. Well, I think you too. Than we've been in ages, because we've been exercising. Right before the pandemic, just by chance, we bought a ping pong table. And then things got locked down. And said, well, we play a lot of ping pong and take a lot of long walks. And more than we ever did before, which was funny because it's not like we didn't have time, but we just didn't make time for it.
The other thing I would say, I think couples in their 60s and 70s who have a fairly decent relationship have really learned resiliency along the way. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so they're like, well, we've been through other things. You know? We can do this.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Maturity really, really does help. It's interesting in my practice. I commented to Judy pretty early on, actually, back like in April and May. I was saying this a fair amount, that couples that I had been working with before and continued to work with remotely were doing better than either they or I might have thought they would. For those very reasons, they were kind of faced with a common adversary. And they discovered they were able to work together better than they thought they could, which was really a good thing. There were also, as you were saying, Nancy, those couples who have, I just marvel, I say this to couples a lot, parents of young children, where they're trying to, you know, keep them on their Zoom classes at school and trying to do their own work, and everybody's cooped up in a small place. It's just astonishing they can manage to get through that. So the stresses are really intense for that demographic. Anything else to comment on, you think?
You know, with the educator background that Judy has, when I talk about polarization and, you know, opportunities to feel like people are adversaries, I do feel so much of the education community feels that the governor and perhaps I and others are adversaries because the teachers weren't at the front of the line for the vaccine. Even though we presented what I consider to be a very coherent, cogent argument for why we're doing the age banding approach and the chronic illness and high risk illness approach, because frankly, that's where the data tells us the deaths are, and our goal at the start is to save lives.
I just want to mention for the benefit of our listeners who aren't in Vermont that unlike many other states, Vermont currently, 75 and up is the age band. And exactly, of course, as you were just saying, the reasoning did offend a number of teachers who were feeling like, wait a minute, shouldn't we be first? And you presented data that said, well, there just isn't that much spread happening in schools. So, you know, from a purely statistical point of view, it makes more sense to do what you're doing. Yeah, I know a lot of teachers. I don't know, Judy, you want to comment on that? What, as your experience as an educator?
Well, you know, I run a supplemental school, so it's not the same situation, but we're online, so I'd like to be in person, but I don't think that vaccinating is going to make that much of a difference because our school ends in May. So even if we were all to be vaccinated, I don't think it would all happen in enough time before the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm. But you've talked to other teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Like teachers in public school or administrators?
Yeah. Yes, they would like to get the vaccine. They would feel safer. Let me put it to you that way.
Mm-hmm. And I completely agree. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of the timing, and we're having a very scarce resource that we can't allocate widely. We'll get there, for sure.
And here's hoping that that scarce resource will be far less scarce very quickly.
Let's hope so. Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you on. And, you know, we wish you both well and good health. And Mark, again, we so appreciate your press conferences every week. And, you know, I and many of my friends are glued to it.
Well, I hate to tell you how many we've done since the beginning.
Oh, over 106 at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Because you were doing it, I think you were doing it more often than twice a week first, right? You were doing it daily, I think.
Three times a week.
Three times a week, yeah. And then now it's
plus there were special ones because so many things were happening for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely mind-blowing to think that's where we've come from. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, thanks a lot for doing this. It's really been a treat for us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been fun here as well.
Yeah.
And be safe, stay well.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Nancy and Mark Levine. They're just a delightful couple. And like Nancy said, Mark has always been a rock star. And I think Nancy is a really good rock star wife as well. So she's brilliant and fun lady. So we were so fortunate to have them on our show.
We were. I have to say, I was a little starstruck, you know, to be interviewing the rock star of Vermont in particular. But yes, it was just delightful to have them. So, as we noted earlier, we'd like you to get the word out about this podcast. You can do that by doing the sort of things people do that, which is to say comment and rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Our home, what do you call them for podcasts? Our home base or something? I don't know what you call it. But anyway, we use Podbean. But you can get your podcast. You're listening to this. So you got it somewhere, didn't you? You can get it any of the places that are your favorite places. So we hope you'll let other folks know about it. And we also want to put in another word for our sponsor, which is the book that I wrote.
The book is Reigniting the Spark: Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And we mentioned that it's really helpful now that you've heard that interview talking with Dr. Levine and Nancy Levine about dealing with this whole pandemic we're still not done with yet. The book is really helpful to any couple that wants to do better with each other. Even if you're doing well, you can deepen your intimacy. And of course, if you're having problems, it's certainly good for that as well. I just want to mention it's available in several different formats. You can get it on paper, the old-fashioned way. You can also get it for Kindle, that would be from Amazon. And you can get it for as an audiobook as well. I had the privilege and pleasure of doing the narration myself. So you actually hear me reading it. And by golly, the person reading it, you know, when I've listened to that audiobook, it sounds just like the way I wrote it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it does.
Yes. So we hope you will go ahead and get that and let us know when you do. And as I mentioned earlier, please do a review on Amazon because that's always very helpful. And so, Judy, tell us about some of our upcoming topics.
So we'll be talking about marriage versus living together, and also intimacy in an era of hookups. And if you go to brucechalmer.com, the website, we have a spot where you can suggest topics, and some of our listeners have done that. So if you have a topic you'd like to bring up to the show, we'd love to hear about it, as well as listener questions. You can also write us questions.
And you can do that by going to the website, brucechalmer.com. You can email me directly. It's bruce@brucechalmer.com. And if you go to brucechalmer.com, you'll see there's a podcast tab. And if you go there, you can not only hear all of our episodes, but you can also, as Judy mentioned, make suggestions for topics. And you can also make suggestions for people to interview, as we just did today. If you have folks who you think would be interesting for us to interview, please let us know. Of course, that could include yourself. So do let us know that. And so, until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.